This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to talk baseball here in the G-Bag Nation. And Rangers are off today. They'll host the Angels tomorrow. Their start time is now 3:05 because Arizona smartly doesn't change their time, but we still do. So the game gets 1 hour later. We'll have updates throughout the games now, but it is startling, isn't it? As you see it coming Sunday night, you're like, what, it's this late already? My body's not ready for this, and then bam, it hits you Monday morning.
Boom.
Feels like you got up unnecessarily early, which Brian probably does every day anyway, you know, to do his all of his podcasts and his Cowboys content, but we had to join you today, Brian, and it was miserable.
Oh, I'm glad you did. How'd you like it? Dark? Was it really nice and dark for you today?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't bother me nearly as much as my body and, you know, knowing it should still be asleep.
Lost an hour? This isn't fair.
I had a whole different kind of eye crusties this morning. I'm sure you've been there.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I was just wondering, it was that box of stuff we got the other day. It was affecting you in a way.
Oh, you know, the shaman took care of us.
The shaman all I heard was like such positivity about the shaman. I'm like, hey, this sounds interesting, but you.
The shaman
you
has like some interesting products.
You kind of took full advantage of it, it sounds like. Never really gave your body a chance to adapt.
Very relaxing weekend.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I just want to tell you guys, I laid on the couch all week.
Okay, I'll tell you this about the dang shaman products. I was like, okay, I'm almost 50 years old, bro. I do not want to trip out at all, right? Yeah. But he's like, oh, no, these are nootropics. You know, there's some sort of mushrooms. I'm like, okay, so again, I don't want to trip out. Oh no, this will give you energy. This will do this. This will do that. There's definitely some to those. I'll just say that in a good way.
To the point where you're just kind of continually taking them just to see what would happen to you.
Well, yeah, it's a pleasurable experience. Okay, I didn't have anything to do.
You were like worried an Aaron Rodgers kind of weekend.
You were worried about the time change so much. I could see that why you would do it.
I wasn't worried about the time change, but it definitely hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. I'll tell you that much. And what was surprising is I'd already slept for 10 hours.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Like, I should be refreshed. I did watch a couple of TV shows over the weekend, by the way. One, just to tell you about Fire Country, I'd give it about a 2 out of 10.
Is that the one where they're like, it's like the love story, but they're kind of like, it's...
Yes, it's way too much
mom,
love story.
Mom and dad, she's... Like in like the is that the son who's in jail and all
the son's in jail and there's love stories everywhere.
Got trapped. I think
they're fighting fires.
That pastor's wife would have a question for you right now.
Yeah, it's definitely it's one of those that's a trap.
It's a 2 of 10.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. It's a and then I watched Zero Day, which is a cyber attack. There
okay,
with
this
Bob
is
De Niro.
Supposed to be Bob good. De Niro in it. Yeah, yeah. How did Angela Bassett in that as well?
Yeah, she's the president. He's the former president. They've had a cyber attack, and Robert De Niro needs to figure out who did it and why.
Yeah, she doesn't trust him, right? She doesn't trust he's going to figure it out, right?
No, she doesn't trust him, and really nobody should be trusting anybody in that show. I'd give that one a 6.5 out of 10. Probably worth your time. Probably worth your time.
Probably worth it.
Yeah. Okay.
Drive to Survive would be good to watch.
Man.
The biggest story going on right now, I should be watching Drive to Survive. You're right.
No, Dawson, I think you would honestly like it because these guys, they don't give an F what they say about each other. Yeah. They do not care one bit. They're calling each other the P word with, you know, that kind of stuff and all kinds of, and there's a lot.
Dropping
to
see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. And then,
Really?
God, it is really good.
Yeah. A lot of hatred there.
It is really good.
Yeah, seriously.
There's a lot of drama.
There's
off
a lot of drama. A lot of drama. And these guys have such egos. And then you got guys that are kind of shady guys. And the media, all of a sudden, there's like one of the team principals is going to get taken down.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, denies it. And all of a sudden it's like, he's cleared. And then the very next thing, I'm not going to tell you what happens because it'll spoil it for you, but you need to kind of watch it, and you don't have to know who the characters are, but you end up starting to hate guys.
I can tell how many people love this show that it's good.
It's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And I do like the open wheel racing.
It's very good. Yeah.
It's fun.
Very good.
You just need some sort of context. And yeah. I think this show does a great job putting it in there, putting the picture in the frame for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Jacob DeGrom was so amazing on Saturday. You know, we know he can be a Cy Young. You take away the how good is he going to be. It's a two-sided concern, obviously, his health and his age and coming off of a second Tommy John. Well, the biggest takeaway for a lot of people is that you're looking at the best pitcher in the game. Rangers have the best pitcher in the game. I feel like we finally have a chance here to get that season that we've always wanted as a dominant real force in the game. You know, I think the Rangers have the chance here, you know, to take us on a ride that we've never been on. In the 90s, the Rangers were never good. In 2010, it came out of nowhere, and we were hopeful the entire season. And then you lost Cliff Lee. 2011, it was hopeful again. They didn't have a real ace. But, you know, I guess C.J. Wilson and Derek Holland had plans to put them on their back in the playoffs, plus Nelly Cruz had an iconic, historic run through the postseason. You get back to the World Series.
Yeah, this is very I think the one thing that in this city that we've really struggled with our sports team has been injury. I think that's the only thing holding the Rangers back potentially.
Yeah.
The staff and the injury. And can they, if it starts to, this Dallas Maverick thing is, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I'm not trying to change the subject on that, but look what injury has done. I mean, the trade was not great. I get that. But the injury aspect of this team has just completely wrecked it. Complete. All hopes we had maybe 8 weeks ago has just been completely wrecked. Trade, injury. If the Rangers, you know, knock on wood, if they could survive any type of injuries to the staff, this team could beat anybody.
Yeah.
They could beat anybody. So that's my hope right now that maybe this whole injury thing can maybe get behind us for this season. I don't want the Rangers to have to go.
I mean, you got to get a bullpen. Obviously, the offense has to do its part, but it's just get them to the postseason because with him and Eovaldi, we know what they can do.
And they've done an excellent job of, I think, planning for that this year. They've got a ton of depth. I mean, that's something we talked about with CY there.
We thought the Mavs had a ton of depth too, didn't we? And I'm not saying that in being just. I'm saying it is like, all of a sudden that depth just gets the Cowboys. We thought, the Cowboys have depth. And then look what happened with the injuries there.
The Rangers have done about as good of a job as I think you can do.
I'm not saying.
And that's all you can hope for going into a season. If you're going to get snake bitten, then, I mean, hell, it just wasn't meant to be.
I don't even know what the Mavericks are going through right now, what that's called. I've never seen anything like
that. Oh, that's called Masterclass of Dog Ass.
Yeah.
Times a million.
Like with the injuries and stuff.
Like
I'm not even looking at the trade. I'm looking at just...
Yeah, the injuries.
And it started with Luka on Christmas Day. That's if Luka was maybe playing throughout, maybe you don't trade Luka. Maybe all of a sudden it's like, man, I mean, the guy's playing, the team's rolling along. You don't make that trade. But the fact that all of a sudden he gets hurt and now Nico's like, I told you. Now I got to deal with his seven trainers and two doctors over here tell me he can't play. If I could get rid of this guy, I would.
Sounds like a test you'd read about in the Bible. You know what the Mavs and their fans have been forced to go through.
I just hope.
Wow, we're Job in the story.
Yeah.
We're just getting just absolutely crushed, and we don't deserve this.
I just hope the Rangers don't have that problem. That's the thing. Please let these pitchers. Please let DeGrom have 25 starts. Just, you know, for 2 years we haven't really seen him pitch. Please let me see.
Last year should have had a chance to repeat, but, I mean, injuries got the Rangers last year in a big way with Carter and Langford, and obviously DeGrom was still coming back, and Evaldi, and the next thing you know, they were in it. So you're right, Brian. We do need to stave off what has been a horrible run here at sports injuries. I think the Rangers won in spite of it, so that's the good news.
Yeah.
But Kyle Higashioka, on his first experiencing catching DeGrom over the weekend, it was fantastic. He said exactly what I had heard about him. Phenomenal command, great stuff. They were really good hitters taking really bad swings. And he said, I'm feeling good, and he looked good, so I'm really excited. But he says when you see that, you know that, all right, he's good to go, and he just needs to build up some innings. So his next start, he's going to go for like 45, and then they're talking about keeping him at about 75 pitches in the early part of the season, just wanting to be, on the extreme side of caution. Yeah. And I'm proud of him for that. You know, you need to do some of that. I would say be even more cautious. I would schedule off a couple of long extended stretches of the regular season, and hopefully they're winning enough and the division is down enough that they'll be able to do that. Okay, Evan Grant has a progress report on the things they've been trying to work on, and there's some takeaways in here. A big goal for Adolis Garcia's, or for the team in general, was trying to hit the four-seam fastball. And they're doing that much better. They're hitting 292 so far in Cactus League play against the four-seamers. That would be ninth in Major League Baseball. Last year, they were 26th. And to help players more effectively train, they've brought in this Traject pitching machine. It can mimic release points and velocities for specific pitchers.
That's badass.
So it's kind of like the VR thing that we were awesome. Talking about with Jaden Daniels. They got a video of the pitcher's motion, and then a ball fires out from the pitcher's release point.
I want to see them put in upload the Hobie Milner technique.
That arm angle is unique.
See how that works for them. That's really cool, though. I wonder how long that's been around.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hopefully, it gets some results, and if they go from 26th to top 10, then I'd say that would be a pretty good sales point. We do have an Adolis Garcia update. The hot take that I had a couple of weeks ago, that maybe we're seeing the beginning of the end, I don't want it to be true. You guys know how I feel about that. Some of those hot takes I have, while they echo with relevance and spontaneity and profoundness, I don't want them to be true sometimes, and this is one of them. But his exit velocity so far in spring is 86.8. That ranks 200th amongst 260 qualified hitters. Grant says he's trying to speed up his bat and make more contact, and at least for now, it's made him a little bit more timid and defensive as a hitter instead of attacking the ball like we know Dolly can.
Should have probably traded him after the World Series run.
Probably, but I don't know how you do that after the things that he did against Houston. Yeah.
Cut your losses.
It's crazy to consider, though, 88 in the 80s of exit velo, when Wyatt Langford's like 103s and Berger's hitting like 110s.
Yes. Okay, and speaking of that, Langford debuted Saturday. He did have some very hard hit balls. One was a ground out, but three out of the four balls that he has been put in play have been triple digits, including one that was at 112. Kamar Rocker had a backfield start over the weekend. He went three hitless innings. He did walk Jonah Heim, and he plunked Josh Smith, but that's much better because his two appearances out in front of everybody have been bad. But they're saying it was mechanical, and they're working through some things and trying to get him as sharp as he was last summer. So they know there's an end point there. He's just very much a work in progress. Evan Carter has swung and missed at 9 of the 13 pitches he's seen from lefties, Brian.
So it's not a breakout player then? You don't think I can put him as the breakout player?
We should have a breakout versus righties type guy. Because versus lefties, that's still a struggle bus.
I kind of brought that up. Dawson goes, he can't hit left-handers, bro. And I'm like, ooh, okay.
No, I mean, the good news is he can't hit left-handers, period, and is probably not worth developing on a big league level. So you don't have to waste any more opportunities against lefties. Just put Pilar or whoever in there. Pilar and the other guy, Sam Haggerty, have been oppressive against lefties. Yeah. So you have some options out there. I don't think it should be Evan Carter. And Tavares is also hitless against lefties. Oof. Double hitless for these guys.
Leody's just been better overall than Evan Carter this spring so far.
Had a couple of bomb skis when we were out there.
Yeah.
It's another one of those predictions I had that he's already peaked that I hope is not true. But I think at this point it's an easy plan for him. He's a part-time outfielder. Yeah, especially.
Oh, Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to run. G-Bag Nation, it's time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420. Where are you taking us, buddy?
National Mario Day. It's me, Mario. I've got the top 10 best video game franchises of all time. Gamers, 877-881-1053. What do you think the best franchise?
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is That's Next.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call Frankel and Frankel first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
All right, happy National Mario Day. We've got the top 10 best video game franchises of all time. 877-881-1053. Text in which one do you think is the GOAT of the video game franchises. Bad news for the Yankees. The Yankees. As Gerrit Cole going to have the TJ. Tommy John. Yeah, he's got a bad elbow, and they're going to get a second opinion on this. But a couple of doctors have already advised Yankees ace Gerrit Cole, you should probably get the Tommy John surgery done, which would be a huge hit to the Yankees. They're already dealing with elbow issues for Giancarlo Stanton. But I will say, as you're looking around in the American League, I mean, that is your reigning AL champion. That could be one that you're not feeling, hey, we're better than this club right now. So Gerrit Cole... Juan Soto's gone to the Mets. It's tough times there for the Yankees. Of course, they'll know about this with enough time to maybe hit the trade deadline, try and maybe bring in another arm. But Not good news for the Pinstripes right now. As we're talking about health, they're a team that's really, really dealing with it. So far, so good in Ranger world, but that's a big bummer if you're a Yankee fan out there. But good news for the rest of the American League, potentially, if you don't have to deal with Gerrit Cole for at least a year.
That's a huge bummer. And a lot of people are down on the Yankees just in general. I see a lot of just MLB bold predictions is that the Yankees won't even be making the postseason.
Well, I could see it.
That's added fuel to the fire.
I could see it. This Laremy Tunsil trade, if you missed it, he gets traded to Washington. I guess the Texans are looking at cap savings. So this is going to create 13.85 million in cap savings. They're also saving $42.7 million in cash over 2 years by moving Laremy Tunsil. So their offensive line right now is terrible, but I guess maybe they felt differently about the player than some others do, and they just said, hey, this isn't worth the money right now. I mean, they are going to end up having to pay C.J. Stroud, but he's going into year three. I don't think that they have to worry about that probably for another year, but I don't know. I guess that's the justification they're giving right now is they wanted to free up some cap room. But we'll monitor if Houston makes any other moves to kind of shore up that offensive line. So right now I think C.J. Stroud's going to get absolutely killed back there. This is really bad.
Yeah, and they're going down a concerning road of trying to get better by giving up good players.
Strange.
That is odd.
It's very, very strange.
Best of luck to them. I mean, they have not done things conventionally with this ownership group for the last decade. Some of the things have really worked out.
And Darius Slay, the report was he had signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Word out of Pittsburgh, deal's not quite done yet. So maybe something happens here. Darius Slay could still end up being on the free agent market. But let's slide into the top 10 best video game franchises of all time on National Mario Day. Look, Mario's the man. Who doesn't love him? Nintendo 64 growing up. Who didn't love a good Mario Brothers, some Super Mario Bros, Mario Kart?
I think Mario Kart did the best.
Mario Kart was your number one.
It was just the best party game before internet connected us. Yeah.
It was an absolute blast. I mean, even Brian used to kick ass in Mario Kart.
Never played.
Never played?
Never one time.
It's a racing one, too.
I know. I never played those games.
Was it like the buttons and stuff? They just kind of freaked
you out? No, I was the one game that, and I'm sure we'll get into it, is Tiger Woods. That was the
one.
You
like Tiger Woods?
That's the only other one I played. I didn't play anything else. That was the only one Pong. That was like way back in the day. That was one of the first games ever that they had on TV.
I played Pong. We had an Atari at my house, early 80s.
Yeah, that was it. I'm sorry.
So there
my dad actually, as much as he hated video games, introduced the family to it.
Really?
Yeah, by going out and getting that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Pong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple of other, like, smaller.
What was it about the video games? You just didn't think it was good for you? Not stimulating?
He's a professor.
Well,
outside and read a book.
He wanted it to be, like, an hour a week only, because you should be, you know, doing other more wholesome things, learning and stuff.
It was his Pong's Not Bong's method.
Yes, so exactly.
It was a whole dare.
That was his strategy.
Yeah.
Backfired on him pretty good.
Really didn't seem to work out.
Got that point across.
Man, some of the honorable mentions we've got on here, some good gaming franchises. Resident Evil is honorable mention.
What's that?
Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. It's a video game.
Okay. I played the first couple.
It's called Resident Evil.
That's like early PlayStation.
It's like a horror
days genre.
Like, you got to survive, basically.
Oh, zombie attack things?
Yeah.
Dude, the best zombie game in my mind, I mean, of course you have Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But, like, just strictly zombies only, for me, it was Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead was great.
Left 4 Dead, the first one, was just fantastic.
We got a lot of people that do love Tiger Woods as well. The Fallout series is one of the greatest from the 972.
Does Pac-Man count in this thing?
Yeah, it should. Right?
I don't think Pac-Man is on here. I mean, that was, you know, one of the, like, you go to
Asteroids.
Like, I don't know.
Like arcade.
Yeah, that's an arcade game.
Oh, these all don't count then, huh?
That's an arcade game. Yeah, we're talking about, like,
Centipede.
There's not a console that you could just Pac-Man it up on?
Maybe, but I don't think it didn't originate as a console game.
Gotcha.
You know? It was an arcade game, so that's not gonna
I saw Xbox is coming out with their own version of like a Game Boy. It's like a handheld version.
What was the football one? What was that football one that had
Madden?
No, there's
NFL Blitz,
the handheld football thing.
Coleco, maybe.
Yeah, when you kind of went up, you moved the guys up, down, up, down.
They were just little dashes.
There were dashes, and then you ran for the.
With that.
Yeah, you ran for when you got a space. You went for it. Yeah, you know, you guys ever played that game? Ever did?
I don't think so. Not the one that you're talking about.
Coleco, is that what it was called, Dawson?
I think
Calico.
So. I loved those handheld games though, and it's amazing how they could just give you enough of it. Okay, is this the one we're talking about here?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Okay.
Look at that. Look at those visuals. Those visuals right now, live radio. Call of Duty. We got a lot of texts for Call of Duty. Uncharted getting texted in. Mario 3, that was their favorite. Smash Bros, all the way. Sonic, I did grow up, like Sega Dreamcast, I've talked about it on the show. That was my first ever console. So Sonic the Hedgehog games were awesome, along with NFL 2K with Randy Moss on the cover. That was the first 2K game that I ever got to play. Lucius, your favorite franchise?
Yeah. Okay, well, it was GoldenEye and NBA Live.
Dude, NBA Live, I miss. It was better than 2K, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think the first one I ever played was one with Steve Francis on the cover.
Yeah.
That was so badass.
Yeah, I used to kill him with Mitch Richmond. I used to kill you, boy. I used to kill you. Don't let me get in that corner. Don't let me get in that corner. Then I think GTA took over along with 2K for me.
So good.
GTA was, still to this day, people are loving it. Did we ever get that new one released that had, like, the very real-looking trailer?
I think it's next year.
Next Dickie?
Yeah.
Like, such a tease, and then you got to wait forever.
Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we'll be able to see it.
Yeah, probably. Who knows? I mentioned Battlefield. Kingdom Hearts is an honorable mention. Mortal Kombat. Man, Mortal Kombat was a hell of a game. Need for Speed.
That was fun. Did you guys ever play the snowboarding game SSX?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was
I think
awesome.
I only played Tony Hawk. I think that was the only snowboard
Tony Hawk
game
was incredible.
I
was a Pro Skater 3 guy myself.
Yeah. Tecmo Bowl being texted in. Tecmo we got Bowl. Jackson Daxter from the 214. I can't say I played that franchise. Donkey Kong.
That's when the game was trying to mess you up, make this music all faster. Bowser was jumping around.
The fireballs are coming.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Dude, I'm trying to focus, dude.
No. Star Fox getting texted in.
Can you beat it for me?
Here, take it. Take the remote. Yeah. Final Fantasy is an honorable mention. Mario Kart just missing the top 10. Elder Scrolls as well is your final honorable mention. That was I never actually played Elder Scrolls, but I did have some friends that actually
Oh, that was fantastic.
I heard it was great.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Assassin's Creed. Top 10 video game franchises. I dabbled in a little Assassin's Creed.
Yeah,
I've seen
pretty,
Bennett play that
cool.
before.
It's
a
pretty cool game.
It was a fun game to watch. One of my buddies was really good at
it. Was that when he was at the Colonial, like the 1776?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they had different versions of it, different time periods.
Okay, I was trying,
historical periods.
Like the red coat dudes, he was always wiping those guys out.
Number 9, we got Gran Turismo, which they ended up just making a movie recently. I thought it was pretty good. Thought it was solid. You'd actually like it, I think, Brian.
The movie or the game?
Very F1. Yeah. Well, like there was an F1 team. They took the best Gran Turismo players and they created a competition. And between them, they had an opportunity to earn a spot to actually race the real car.
Oh, wow.
And
that'd be a disaster.
Based on a true story. Hmm. Like, really happened. And I think the guy ended up turning out to be like a decent race car driver.
He was a good driver, huh?
Yeah. Right. Crazy.
Good deal.
Yeah, that was a fun game. You'd buy cars and try to improve them. You had to put new brakes on there, new tires, new suspension.
Okay, so like you're building your own vehicle.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
You'd have your garage with different vehicles in there you're working on.
8 is Call of Duty. I thought Call of Duty would be higher.
It really should be.
Crazy popular.
Yeah.
7 is Halo.
Mm. Wow, Halo above Call of Duty.
And Halo was like I felt like now I think Call of Duty is definitely bigger than Halo. But growing up, like when I was in middle school, high school, like Halo was in its prime.
But that's like 15 years ago at least.
6 is Grand Theft Auto. GTA gets in here at number 6. Top 5 best video game franchises of all time. 5 is Sonic the Hedgehog, which I guess has made a huge comeback with the movies. Like Sonic 3 just came out, had massive numbers at the box office. So Sonic's making a nice comeback.
That makes me feel like they're ranking it off of like what is your all-time sales, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
it's not about right now.
Historically, this is just like historically all time. So, you know, it's not today, like 2025. These are the most popular games of right now. 4 is Super Smash Bros., which is always an amazing game. Anytime you want to just have fun, put on Super Smash Bros. If you're having a bad day, it's going to brighten it up for you.
So Super Smash Bros., Mario Kart, and Mario itself are considered different things?
They're all three different. Mario Kart was 13, and then Super Smash Bros. Came in at number 4 on the list. 3 is Pokemon, which, my gosh, which one are we talking about here? Like Pokemon on Game Boy? I grew up on that one. The Pokemon Gold, Pokemon Red, those were all awesome. Number 2 is The Legend of Zelda. I didn't actually end up dabbling in any of the Zelda games. That was a hot commodity on the Twitter, though.
I was really good at Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. But that okay. was the extent of my Zeldaing.
Was that the gold cartridge?
Yes, it was.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I didn't Zelda.
Went down quite a rabbit hole on that one.
NHL.
It was a trip back in the day, too, because you couldn't just Google, how do I do this? You had to, like, call a 1-900 number that was hitting you for, like, $3 a minute. So, yeah, you had to, like, beg your parents, can I call the Nintendo Power hotline to get a tip? Because I can't pass this boss. And nobody in school knows.
No.
Unless they had that little gaming magazine.
Yeah.
It was like a random guy that always had a gaming magazine. They had their up, down, select, start little... Yep. They give you a few little codes to work with. Yeah, and you don't know your buddy has a code, so he's cooking you a little bit.
But I probably played Super Mario Brothers for 3 years without knowing the hacks to get all the way to level 9.
Oh,
right?
No.
I was trying to play it the whole way through.
Yeah, and all these other people are doing. You're like, how are you doing?
He was raw-dogging that joint.
Yeah, I was. I was trying to do the whole thing.
That sucks.
Unbelievable. You can win the damn game in 30 minutes.
You don't win the whole game on a little man.
I don't think I ever did it. I don't think I ever made it all the way through. It gets really tough.
Man, Zelda is incredible with its lore and storytelling from the 682. The storytelling in some of these games has become next level. Madden's getting some love. Of course, Madden's
FIFA
classic.
Should be in there. FIFA, Madden, Call of Duty.
FIFA, I think, is really blown up the last 10 to 15 years. Number one, though, is Super Mario Bros., the number one best gaming franchise of all time on National Mario Day. Shout out to you, Mario. And I will say, if you missed the Mario movie, it was actually pretty good. I went in with low expectations. I really, really enjoyed it.
Chris Pratt was Mario, wasn't he?
He was.
Well, I like this little nostalgia feel talking video games. How about we continue with that theme? Give you the top 100 sports moments of the quarter century so far. We'll see how many we can get to. Football's finest coming up at 5:00. It's a Mavs game night. And we're now about an hour away from LA Live with Lucius as well. And we're back here in the G-Bag Nation with you. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I would like to add to that last segment. I don't think I've ever had more fun playing a video game than when Mike Tyson's Punch-Out came out. Because you got to put yourself in the late 80s. You know, Mike Tyson is at the top of his game. And boxing is rivaling the major sports right now in fan interest, I would say. And, you know, his character in the game was almost indestructible. I mean, it took hours and hours of training to just have a chance of surviving 1 minute against Mike Tyson. It took even more additional weeks, you know, to finally fall that, you know, maybe the greatest fighter in the history of all video games, Iron Mike Tyson, in his iconic Mike Tyson's punch out there in the late 80s. But anyway.
That dog from Duck Hunt. I wish there was a code to pop that dog.
Yeah, it should have been.
He get to laughing at you.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I took you. I feed you. You're my dog. Yeah. What are we doing?
But you're cheering for me.
Yeah. Wild time back in the day, these video games, man. And what was popular? I mean, Duck Hunt. You were just any variety, anything other than what you had. And there were no rules. Like, here are the kind of games people would play. So they were making up all kinds of stuff. Okay, speaking of making stuff up, we got the top 101 moments of the last quarter century in sports. I got a question for you at 877-881-1053. What is your greatest sports moment over these last 25 years here? As we hit the quarter pole here for the 21st century, I'd say been a terrifying run at times so far. I think I like what I remember of the 20th century, just the 80s and 90s. More in these last 25 years, but we go to theringer.com. They have ranked such things, and I'd be interested to know what you guys would throw out there, but they say the Eli Manning to David Tyree helmet catch back in February of 2008 was their number one, the most improbable sports moment of the 21st century. 75 seconds to go, down four. Eli Manning pursued by two Patriots defender, just heaving a YOLO ball downfield. David Tyree, who that season caught four passes and manages to pin the ball to his helmet inches from the ground for the greatest Super Bowl catch in history. I'd say I would agree with that. But top sports moment of the entire century? I don't know. What do you say, Chief?
I mean, it's hard to say that's number one. I certainly get why it would be in the top five or so. I'm trying to figure out what would be number one. I know I do love number 56 on this list is the butt fumble. I thought that would have been a top 20 kind of moment because we still talk about that, and we haven't seen it since. You want to talk about rarefied air?
Yeah.
It's not like butt fumbles are taking place left and right.
No.
So that's one that sticks out to me personally. But what would be number one? Let's see. What do they even have down there? Comparable ones.
Okay, so yeah, they're starting to come in on text. I'll get to these texts here in just a second. Number two is the block, LeBron James against the Warriors there that altered the championship course and allowed them to win, Aaron, in 2016.
When you said the block, I was thinking App State beating Michigan.
Ooh, that was iconic from the world of college football. You know, you could go to number three, the Red Sox comeback from being down 3-0 against the Yankees in the ALCS. I believe you had bloody socks come up in this.
Yeah, I guess the bloody sock moment, like if you had to pick one moment. I mean, the David Tyree play being one makes sense. I mean, it's maybe the biggest upset we've ever seen in the Super Bowl. It is also a play that you don't see often. I mean, I don't think you'd ever see that play replicated. Eli Manning closing his eyes. They could have blown the whistle dead. He should have been sacked. He heaves it up. Here's a no-name receiver. Nobody knows David Tyree if it isn't for that catch. That play put him as a household name. Otherwise, who the hell is David Tyree? You knock off the undefeated New England Patriots. Like, that is an unbelievable moment. That in the Super Bowl, I mean, it made so many careers. Like Eli Manning, we're not talking about him as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen. No.
Yeah, yeah, and ending the perfect season. I mean, there was so much on the line there. I get that. The Malcolm Butler play, if you're going Super Bowl, Malcolm is right Butler. Up there.
Yeah. No doubt.
Tiger Woods winning the Masters at 43 years old.
That would be pretty significant.
Coming back and winning it after the knee injury.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah.
I think that might be my favorite as everything from everything that we've heard so far. I get that the Giants thing was big, but it wasn't part of any bigger legacy or dynasty or something like that. That seems weird, but the dramatic Tiger Woods comeback, you know, I at that point I thought there was no way he would ever do it. I thought he was already at the point that he is now.
Yeah.
Number four, Michael Phelps in the greatest relay ever. I guess I just haven't paid that much attention to swimming, but apparently at the 2008 Beijing Olympics, he was part of a 4x100 that allowed him to outdo Mark Spitz's 1972 record.
Oh, the Jason Lezak final leg. That was one of the closest finishes you will ever see, just barely getting a fingertip to allow the U.S. to win. That is an amazing moment. If you go back and watch that one, it'll give you some goosebumps.
2-on-4, Auburn, Bama, the
kick six. Yeah,
the kick six.
Okay, that comes at number five on this list.
Kick six is pretty incredible.
That is a good memory, of course. Number one, Alabama against number four, Auburn.
Did Messi's World Cup win against France?
Yeah, that was in the top 10.
Did that make it?
It would have
Mbappe
to be
in France. I think that was number eight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was an incredible run, as he had never done it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a blemish on his career. So you're putting him historically up there with Maradona as the result of that happening.
Yeah.
I thought Brado sort of already mentioned one of his favorite moments, the Seager dong that helped propel the Rangers to World Series championship victory.
Did that come up? Did that actually make the list? I mean, the list is so big, I didn't have a chance to sort through all of it. I was wondering if it was on there, but
it should be.
Yeah.
It is for Rangers fans. It's being texted in at a rapid rate right now.
Yeah, it sure is.
I mean, what's bigger, him hitting that dong or the Adolis Garcia game winner?
Yeah, right. Because that's,
I mean, it's like 1-1A, the biggest dongs in franchise history.
Yeah, both of them
history.
Pretty incredible. And then, man, I mean, just what Dolly was able to do against Houston. Vince Young going for the corner, and he's got it. Vince Young scores, beating USC in the Rose Bowl. That was pretty epic.
I mean, if you're going to do one for the great state of Texas, is it that? Is it Jason Terry's big make against the Miami Heat?
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Corey Seager bomb's got to be there in the, you know, top three as well. Tiger Woods winning the Masters again was number seven. Messi, there he is at number eight. Cubs winning the World Series is number nine.
Breaking the curse.
Just for that to happen after 108 years, you're right. I mean, there's a big piece of sports culture that kind of went away on that day. Malcolm Butler picking off Russell Wilson, our guy Butler from the Super Bowl there. That comes in at number 10.
Boise State beating Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, the Statue of Liberty.
The Statue of Liberty, and then the other trick play that they had. I mean, and then you had Ian Johnson proposing to his cheerleader girlfriend afterwards. I mean, that whole game was epic.
Lynn's Sanity, just in general, comes in at number 11. Just the whole idea of that and how everything went down. Dude was scoring like 25 points per game, and suddenly a G-leaguer erupts.
For a mean 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Number 12, they give to Tom Brady. Number 12, yeah, for two and a half weeks, could he do this on another team? I mean, what do we make of this post Linsanity NBA? 28-3 in Super Bowl 51. Yeah. Tom Brady and the Patriots come back with the greatest come from behind victory. Vince Young and them were at number 13. All right, so maybe we'll have more opportunities to look at this and harken back to years gone by. It's amazing how many years have transpired already inside this century.
It's fun to just read through and like just relive think about some of these things.
Man, some of these that happened.
Yeah, Luka is number 100 on this list, but I think when you go back and look at top stories of the sports century,
it's going to move it up.
It'll be a top. Maybe top 10 story
the
of
Music
all time.
City Miracle.
When everything's said and done. Gosh. An edition of Football's Finest coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking us?
Let's hear from Myles Garrett on the heels of his huge deal. The team in the NFC East that players are avoiding. And the one deal we wish the Cowboys would have made today, next year in the nation.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vallany and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.